months have gone by since we began looking at the armor. You weren't sure where I was headed with that. It's been a long time. And we are in Ephesians 6. And actually, if you'll turn there to Ephesians chapter 6, we have already looked at girding with the belt of truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, wearing on our feet the preparation of the gospel, taking up the shield of faith, putting on the helmet of salvation. And we also had previously looked at the sword of the Spirit, that when we were talking about the shield of faith, we also looked at the sword of the Spirit. And so it looks like we're done. We're not done. You knew that wasn't true. But actually, Paul's not done. God's not done speaking to us. Because in verse 18, he continues his thought. He's still continuing the mindset. And he's still continuing the preparation of victory against the enemy. He's still continuing the thought of how we stand firm against all the schemes of the devil. He's still continuing that. And in verse 18, he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, Paul ends with a personal prayer, as he often does in his letters. So what he's getting ready to teach us about prayer, he quickly wants to take advantage of that and says, now apply that in praying to me. But let's focus on verse 18 today. And we can remember this guy. And I don't know... Here's the shield of faith. It looks just like Russell Crowe. Yes. My artistry is amazing. Look at that bicep.
The swords are monstrous.
So we gave him that monstrous.
How long did you practice
this,
man?
Oh. The last time I did it was the last time I practiced it. So there's his powerful shoes of the gospel with their cleats to get grip. Did we leave anything out? Oh, the powerful belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. So that's hammered metal. Okay, did we leave anything out?
That's pretty good.
Emily would be proud of that.
Emily would be proud. Okay, then if her in her artistic skill, she would even give me a C. I will be delighted. Now, there's nothing I can draw here for prayer. Well, maybe sort of. Can you see his steely-eyed warrior look?
Yes.
Now it really looks like Russell Crowe. Okay. Okay. Prayer is in those eyes. So what we're looking at today is the mindset of a warrior. So Paul has given us the equipment. Paul has, by the Holy Spirit, described for us everything that we wear going into battle against the enemy, with this plan in mind, that we stand firm and we win. We stand firm and we win. It's not simply that we put up a good showing. Well, that was nice. They tried hard. You know, they're ground into the dust, but, you know, the noble, valiant effort. This is not, what was the guy? Don Quixote. We're not warriors who just tilt at windmills. That our mindset of preparation is we are warriors who win. And now Paul is getting, in prayer, he is getting to the mindset of a warrior. And not just the mindset of a warrior,
but the mindset of a warrior who wins.
So let's look at a few aspects of this. I will go ahead and say, you already know it, but I might as well say it. This will not get done in one sermon. there's just way too much here. But he starts with this. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now, one of the things that you probably noticed as soon as you read that verse is how frequently in one verse Paul uses the word all. All prayer and petition. All times. All perseverance. All the saints. And one of the things that we're going to keep seeing through this is what a comprehensive mindset the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us in this. We easily break our life down into categories. Very easily, very naturally, we break our life into categories. I go to work and I sort of put on my work mindset. I go to play and I put on my play mindset. I'm having a conversation with my wife and I put on my husband mindset. I'm getting ready to hang out with my daughter and I put on my dad mindset. And there's a naturalness to all those things where I recognize I'm not going to operate the same way when I'm hanging out with my daughter and just really having fun with her. I'm not going to operate the same way necessarily as when I'm at work. So there's a recognition that different parts of your life have different flavors, different styles, different ways of operating. They're absolutely legitimate. Absolutely legitimate. But now God is saying, but I want something that covers all that territory and that you take into your work environment, that you take into your time with your husband or wife, that you take into your time with your friends, your coworkers, your boss, your neighbor. I'm asking you to build a mindset that goes into every one of those categories of life. This is comprehensive. Now he starts out and he just says, you know, with all prayer and petition. And so he's getting ready to say, everything else I'm getting ready to say applies to all the times you pray. So that's part of it. By saying all prayer and petition, everything else he's getting ready to teach us in this verse applies to everything of your prayer life and my prayer life. And then here's the next thing he says. When I'm considering that prayer and petition, pray at all times. So all prayer, but now at all times. Go to Matthew chapter 18. I'm sorry, Luke 18. You can go to Matthew 18, but that's not where I'm going to be reading from. Luke 18. Now, and this is Jesus, and he says, now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Cry to him day and night, Emma. And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, the point of this passage isn't that we think of God as an unrighteous judge who just needs to be hounded and hounded and hounded until he cares. Jesus is using an opposite example, that even an evil judge can be moved to do the right thing because of persistence in prayer, persistence of request. And he's saying, that's an evil judge who doesn't honor God and doesn't honor man. He does not even care about this woman. But her persistence
won her a hearing. Her persistence won. And now he's saying, you have a father who actually loves you and cares for you. You have a way greater hope than this woman that your perseverance actually bears fruit. Now, while we're at it, let's just put up the next one. All perseverance. So at all times and with all perseverance, we're going to pursue coming to God with needs and requests. So every Sunday we do that here as a body, and hopefully all through the week we do that. That we have the persistence to go to God, and I believe I've said this before, but let me say it real clearly. If it's worth asking, it's worth persisting. So that means what he's saying here with all perseverance is, I don't set deadlines on things that are worth asking for. That I don't give God a deadline. A father, you know what? I'm only interested in getting this prayer answered if you can get it done by Tuesday. I'm only interested in praying for Bob's salvation if you can get him saved while I'm here on planet Earth. I'm only interested in you bringing provision to this family that I care about if you can get it done by May 31st. Wait, what are we in? Yeah, May 31st. So that it is foolish for you and I to put deadlines on our persistence in prayer for anything that is truly worth praying for. Now, part of that is the recognition I may even think there's a real world deadline, and time after time after time, God proves me wrong. And I bet you've seen that, many of you in your own lives too, that I'm thinking, God, it's got to be done by May 31st. Well, what happens on May 31st? Well, God, then the whole world ends because this didn't get answered. Father, then they get kicked out of their apartment. Father, then he gets fired. Then she dies of cancer. Then something that I'm seeing a deadline, and time after time after time, God says, not on my watch, it's not happening that way. You thought they were going to get kicked out by June 1st. Now watch me change all that. The doctor said she was dying by the 31st. Watch me change that. So that I put deadlines on my prayers that are foolish, because they fail to take into account that God is not bound by the limitations that you and I think are so real. We think they're so real, and that God is obligated to operate bound by those limitations. And frequently, I think, I don't know this, but I think frequently God says, I'm actually going to let that deadline pass, not because I couldn't answer it on May 29th, but I need you to learn something about my power larger than your deadline. I need you to learn something about my sovereignty larger than the limitation of your vision. I'm not being callous and I'm not being cruel. I'm teaching you something more. So one of the best examples of that, which we looked at recently, was Lazarus, where Mary and Martha said, go get Jesus and bring him because our brother's sick. And Jesus intentionally delayed. Intentionally delayed. How cruel is that? He could have gone the same day and given Lazarus health. Way easier than raising him from the dead. Way easier than raising him from the dead. And instead, Jesus said, I'm waiting till I have to raise him from the dead. On purpose. Because you need to see that I am the resurrection and the life. So that God's intention, Jesus' heart in delaying, was not callousness for Mary and Martha. It was this majestic vision that he knew, I want Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and I want that whole mourning crowd that will be there after he has died, and then I want millions and millions and millions of men and women who will read about it to be have their eyes wide open that I am the God of resurrection. Or I could just make him better while it's easy. No, he did something more majestic by going beyond it. I mean, how much more of a boundary could we put on anything than death? And yet Jesus said, not my boundary. Not my boundary. I'm not obligated by the boundary you would put on this. And you and I, this week, when we're praying and we're needing to persevere and we're needing to keep having hope in this God, the vast majority of things that we will need to hope in don't involve death. They just involve the next $50, or they involve a healing, or they involve a provision, or they involve wisdom for a decision. They involve something that God says, I'm really up for this. I'm really capable of this. I really need you to comprehend the size of my sovereignty and the depth of my love for you so that you persevere. Persevere in this. Now, going back to this, go to 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm going to start in verse 14. Because Paul's sort of on a roll here. Starting in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 5. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Now let me pause there for a minute. Again, in these first two verses, Paul's now addressing the issue of our conduct toward other people. And he's getting that comprehensive mindset again. He's getting focused on this larger picture. He says, I'm teaching you about an always. I'm trying to get your mind out of a block of categories that you think, well, this is how I'm going to operate when I'm at church. And this is how I'm going to operate when I'm witnessing to my friend Bob. And this is how I'm going to operate when I'm hanging out with people who know I'm Christians. And he's saying, you know what? I want this mindset to keep growing, that this is how you always think, more and more. And then he goes on, rejoice always. Another one. Pray without ceasing. Another one. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So that Paul is really trying to, again, encourage this mindset that when he says pray without ceasing, pray at all times, to think more comprehensively about our whole life and to think more comprehensively about the battle we're in. And again, let's not forget, this is about a battle. This is the mindset of a warrior who knows the battle is 24/7. Now, we were talking this morning in the young people's group, looking out of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Out of Colossians 4, we were looking at the issue of conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. And we were looking at that right after he says there as well in Colossians 4, to devote yourselves to prayer. So that he's binding these two together. That if I'm going to conduct myself in battle, if I'm going to be in a position to operate with people in an effective way for the purposes of the kingdom, it starts with this mindset of prayer that does not end. It doesn't cease. Now, and I think there's two parts to this, which we've talked about before, but let me reiterate. One is, I need conversational prayer with God. If I'm going to pray without ceasing, I've got to be talking to God all day long. So in John 15:5, when Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, he's saying, so talk to me about everything. Now, I see a number of heads nod while I'm talking about that. And I would nod my head to that. If I was sitting there and I was hearing some other guy say this, I'd be nodding my head, yeah, that's true. The challenge for us is that Sunday afternoon today, I, Reg Larkham, and call, I can't even say my own name. I know I need a spell checker for my own name. That I, Reg Larkin, am called to grow this day in pursuing this conversation with God more. that while I'm on the road, while I'm sitting having lunch with somebody, while I'm sitting around chatting with my daughter, when my wife comes home this evening and we have supper together and we have conversation and on and on and on, and I answer the phone and I call people back and I do all those things, that God is really saying, Reg, please don't do any of that without staying in conversation with me. And that he's saying that to you, and he's saying that about every piece and aspect and slice of your day and your life. So the calling is, I choose to grow this week, this day, in this intimate conversation with God where I keep inviting the Holy Spirit in, and I recognize that's the mindset of a focused warrior, is I keep remembering I can even wear the armor, but I need this mindset. This is a living conversation that gives power to the wearing of my armor. That gives focus, that gives effectiveness to the wearing of my armor. Now, actually, please pause for a minute and consider what it would look like. So I've asked the young folks upstairs to do this. So I want to ask all of you and me to do this too. What would it look like to do that stronger this week? Ponder that right now. Ponder what it would really look like to do that stronger this week. What would you do different? Where would you need to leave yourself notes? How many notes would you need to leave yourself? How many things would you need to put on your computer and your iPhone and your BlackBerry or Blueberry or whatever those, do they even exist anymore? That you actually consider your life, what works in your life, that would remind you and help you and strengthen you and encourage you, that this would be a week where you are in all prayer at all times with all perseverance, more than you were last week. In fact, let's pray for a minute right now. Father God, I pray that in my life right now, and I pray that in each of our lives, in each of our minds, in each of our conversations right now, that we would not let this opportunity slip by. Father, help every single one of us who are believers in here to lift our heads and look you in the face and agree with you on how we will strengthen ourselves in prayer this week, how we will draw on your truth and how we will meditate on your word and how we will put notes in our environment and how we will remind ourselves. And Father, there may be some in the room that are just absolutely running and guns blazing at this, and your heart's desire is that they still grow. And there may be some that are just barely beginning the process of learning to talk with you through their day and their week, and your heart's desire for them is that they grow. So Father, I pray for myself, I pray for each one of us that right now we would actually choose growth. And if we haven't already done it, Father, that in the next few seconds, we would envision and agree with you on steps of growth. That this would be an absolutely certain week of growth in the perseverance, in the constancy, in the unceasing nature of our conversation with you in prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Ponder that. Plan that. Don't leave the room today without having a plan in mind. Something simple. If you like complex is fine as long as it really works. But something that you know, I'm going to do this, and this is actually going to be a stronger week of prayer for me. I'm really going to do this. Now, he also goes on in Ephesians 6. He says, be on the alert with all perseverance, and petition for all the saints. Petition for all the saints. Now, this is a different kind of comprehensive, because now the Holy Spirit is trying to get you and I to be aware that I keep building a larger vision of what I'm a part of. So you and I are part of a family. You and I are part of a circle of friends. You and I are a part of this fellowship. You may be a member of other circles of fellowship. So, you know, Ron and Sandy, I know you guys go to Wilderness Ridge, and there you have a circle of staff that are believers. And there could be a real sense of family and a real sense of cohesiveness there. And there are other people in my life. I have a group of accountability partners. I have a real strong sense of family and cohesiveness with them. So there may be plenty of bits and pieces of your life where you say, here's where I have a sense of family. Here's another area where I have a sense of cohesive commitment. And that is all great. In fact, that's God designed to have those areas and those groups and to be strengthening them and to look intentionally at strengthening your family and your circle of friends and your circle of fellowship and your church. But now God is saying, but I want you to keep remembering as you build a mindset of prayer that you are connected to the whole kingdom of God operating on planet Earth. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm sorry, not 3. You'd think after going through this book for so much, I'd have the book memorized, but I don't. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So Paul is here, again, giving that picture that here is this larger thing, and it's one thing. The body of Christ is one. You and I could sit down with a group of Christians from Bolivia or from Ethiopia or Scandinavia or Lithuania. We could, all those E's, we could sit down with believers from any place, and assuming we could get a good translator to show up, we could have genuine fellowship with anyone who belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, we might be uncomfortable about some things. So I remember watching a film of a church service. I think it was in Ethiopia. Pretty sure. So I used Ethiopia on purpose because I knew I was getting this. And I promise you, I might not have been comfortable in their church service. First of all, Matthew and Micah, you are this week's apologists. I'm apologizing to you that you had to hear me sing today. So every week I have to apologize to somebody. If you don't want to hear me sing, I promise you, you do not want to see me dance. Now, in this church service in Ethiopia, everybody was dancing. And it looked joyful and it looked worshipful. And my heart absolutely was with them. And I would be uncomfortable doing that. Now, if I hung out with them long enough, I would eventually learn that they have the little retarded section over here where you get to learn how to dance for the people with no rhythm. Okay, that'd be me. Oh, and in fact, this is so irrelevant. This is another reason, if you ever see that we're doing a clapping song, I don't do clapping songs. And it's because you will wonder why there's somebody clapping when nobody is supposed to be clapping. That will be me too. So there's something wired wrong in my brain, and right after you clap is when I want to clap.
You can clap in between.
I can clap in between? There's a word for that, right? Syncopation?
That's right.
Okay. I am the syncopated clapper, which means I screw up every time. And I do it so predictably, it's got a name. Okay. So there are plenty of things in fellowship with other believers that you and I might not be comfortable with. There are churches in this town where you could go and you might not be comfortable with their service. But here's the point. If they belong to Jesus Christ, you belong to them and they belong to you.
Amen.
And what Paul is saying here is that every now and then, lift your eyes up and be aware of the larger picture and intercede on behalf of all those saints. Pray for those believers down the block, even if you weren't comfortable in their service. Pray that the Holy Spirit is powerfully effective in bringing people into the kingdom through their ministry, and that the Holy Spirit is powerful in teaching them how to grow into the maturity of Christ. And every now and then, lift your eyes high enough to pray for missionaries and to pray for people that are preaching the gospel in other parts of the world and that are preaching the gospel right over there at Wilderness Ridge or wherever around us, that we get our heart and our mindset connected to the recognition that you and I have authority. And this is the point. This is part of the point. We have authority to affect the outcome of battle all over the planet because we are seated in Christ to intercede for all the saints. And it matters. It's not busy work. There is no place in Scripture where God gives us busy work. We're going to come back to that a little bit later for another topic. But there is no place where God just gives us busy work. Well, here, just do this. It just looks good. It accomplishes nothing. It means nothing. Just do it. No, God does not do busy work. Everything He calls you to do, everything He calls me to do, has a purpose, and in the Spirit, it's effective. So when He's saying, now pray for all the saints, it's because there are things that are now, by the work of the Holy Spirit, happening in and around the world because you agreed to pray. And because somebody else agreed to pray. And because somebody else agreed to pray. And there are some things that will not get done if the people of God don't pray. Now, I realize that as soon as I say that, there are some people who, based on the sovereignty of God doctrine, will say, no, it all gets done. But we know that it doesn't get done. God called me to be a godly father and raise my daughter in the truth. And if I didn't do it, someone else didn't show up at my house every night to do it for me. It didn't get done. Now, the grace of God and the sovereignty of God is that He can still bring the truth to my daughter even though I truly dropped the ball and some things didn't get done. And my daughter could end up spending all of eternity with God because at some point somebody else was faithful to bring her the truth of the gospel and she could look back and say, why didn't my dad tell me about that? And God will say, well, I wanted him to, but he refused to cooperate, but now I've brought the truth to you another way. So yes, the sovereignty of God still gets purposes done, but something real doesn't get done if I don't pray. If you don't pray, if I'm not obedient or you're not obedient, some things don't get done. We are truly delegated sons of God, sons and daughters of God, with authority to get things done, and it matters if we don't. Well, we're going to go ahead and close in prayer because this was just part one.
Papers,
yes. Back by the offering, there are papers. If you have not yet, guys, men, if you've not yet given us your times on when you can come to the men's gathering for leadership training. If you cannot pick one of those up, if you've lost yours already, or if you weren't here last Sunday, pick one up and give us those times. Stephen, can we take you anywhere? Stephen just...
Okay.
Stephen... Can we take you anywhere? It's just better to blame him. Okay.
My bad.
For those who can't see, coffee spilled in the front, but no actual humans were harmed in the spilling of this coffee. So, men, please do fill out one of those papers and let us know your availability so that we can plan to try to get as many men as possible to participate in this. Well, brothers, sisters, sons and daughters of God, let's pray. Father God, I do thank you that you are really teaching us to do something different. You're really teaching us to go deeper into the mindset of a warrior, where we are able to stand firm against the enemy because we think with you. We learn to think like you and we talk with you. We bring everything to you. We consult you. We invite you to be present and we invite you to be sovereign and we invite you to show us our calling in each situation, in each moment. Father, I pray that today and this week wouldn't just be just nodding in agreement with the biblical truth and then doing exactly this week what we did last week. Father, I pray that as we are learning this armor, that you would teach us the mindset of warriors, that everyone here who's a believer would recognize the battle rages uninterrupted, the battle rages all the time. And we either show up prepared or we show up unprepared, but we don't stop the battle. And Father, I pray that you'd be growing my mindset, that I would be joyfully pursuing a greater preparation for battle by just the conversation I have with you through my day and my week. And I pray that for each one of us, Father, a more joyful conversation. There is no reason to avoid you when you are present at all times. Help us to persevere and help us to see it as a privilege and an authority and a power that you've shared with us to be in prayer for one another, to be in prayer for the people of your kingdom. We agree on these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.